CTV.
So wait until you hear this one, folks. I left off at 31 minutes on Clyde's video called Seven Things I Didn't Realize About Prophecy, or something like that. And I was planning on getting through the rest of the video. Well, that was a pipe dream. I got three more minutes into it. And there were so many issues, five issues to be exact, in 3 minutes, that I couldn't get past that. Clyde brought up some points, again, attempting to prove that Paul's letters that he wrote before prison don't apply to us. Thus, the snatching away doesn't apply to us. And only the letters he wrote from prison constitute his ministry to the nations. All right. I wouldn't even deal with this because it's so absurd, except it's Clyde Pilkington saying it. And Clyde is a great guy. He's got some magnificent teachings on many other topics. And a lot of people like Clyde. I like Clyde. But he's a popular teacher, which is why I have to intercede here, because Clyde is so convincing. But this stuff is dangerous because it takes away your expectation. And it's terribly wrong. The best evidence against this Acts 28:28 teaching is the evidence they offer for it. That's right. I'll say that again in a second. This is Martin Zender. Welcome to another edition of MZTV from my car. Somebody asked the question in yesterday's video, why is it dark? Why is he making a video in the dark? My answer was, because I'm in my car and it's night. That's why. But I do have a light on. Otherwise, you'd be seeing this. Now, that's dark. I can do the show like this, but that is dark, sir. This is not dark. All right. It was a cute question. I liked it. I got nothing against it at all. The best evidence against this position, that Paul's ministry to the nations didn't start until he was an old man in prison ready to die, is the evidence they offer for it. So ridiculous is the evidence they offer for it. It's like, this is your evidence? This is the best evidence you have? That's how, one reason you know that it's wrong. So I'm going to go through these issues, but first, the chicken noodle soup has cured me. You notice I sound better? And also, the emergency medicine called in by Nurse Marion Hoover. Yeah, she was a nurse. She's retired. Nurse Marion Hoover phoned in on the hotline to Manfred Jones, get Zender some bronchial wellness syrup. And he did. And here it is. Can you see it? It's dark. Why is it dark? Why? Anyway, it's called bronchial wellness syrup, and also echinacea right here. Extract. Echinacea extract. And bronchial wellness syrup. The 1-2 punch that has delivered me from whatever the heck it was afflicting me. All right. Clyde says this around minute 32. Paul says in Romans 1:16, to the Jew first. To the Jew first, and to the nations also. So by this, Clyde concludes that since Paul went to the Jews first and to the nations also, then apparently he went to the Jews for like 40 years and not to the nations. And then in the last couple years of his life, he goes to the nations. To the Jews first, then to the nations. Like I said, that's the evidence they offer for it. That's the best evidence against it. I'm going to go to that verse. Show you how it is. Romans 1 and verse 16. Let's start with verse 14. To both Greeks and barbarians, to both wise and foolish, a debtor am I. Thus this eagerness of mine to bring the evangel to you also who are in Rome. For not ashamed am I of the evangel, for it is God's power for salvation to everyone who is believing, to the Jew first and to the Greek as well. To the Jew first and to the Greek as well. Well, that proves that Paul didn't even go to the Greeks until the Acts 28:28 era when he's in prison as an old man, never to get out, ready to die. It does? No, in fact, instead of being of 40 years to the Jews and then, oh, now I'm going to start my ministry. Croak. Head chopped off. Hey, wait, don't chop my head off yet. I need to start my ministry to the nations. Better hurry up. We'll give you 24 hours. No, my God. No, it was a matter of a week. A week. Paul went from the Jews to the nations in a week. A week. Not freaking 40 years. He doesn't wait till Acts 28:28. It's a week, Martin. How do you know that? All right. Glad you asked. Acts 13, one of my favorite chapters. That's where it all comes down, folks. Acts 13 is when it all starts, not Acts 28. The difference of many, 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 many years there. Decades. Now, this is excellent. Let's start with Acts 13:42. Now, at their being out, they entreated. This is Paul and Barnabas. Remember, the Holy Spirit separates Paul and Barnabas for the work that they have to do. Now, at their being out, they entreated that these declarations be spoken to them on the intervening Sabbath. Now, the synagogue, see, Paul and Barnabas, they go to the synagogue first in every city. That's what they did. So, the Jews were actually interested. Paul does two things at the synagogue. He tries to convince his brethren, according to the flesh, that Jesus is the Messiah. And he uses, of course, the Hebrew scriptures to do that. And then he throws out some choice nuggets, or church nuggets, if you prefer, of his gospel. Puts out teasers. Now listen to this. Every time I start a video, my nose itches. It's a curse. Now, the synagogue, having broken up, many of the Jews and the reverent proselytes follow Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to remain in the grace of God. Verse 44, now on the coming Sabbath, this is the next week, on the coming Sabbath, almost the entire city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. Yet the Jews, perceiving the throngs, are filled with jealousy, and they contradicted. Why would they be filled with jealousy? If Paul is just trying to prove from the scriptures, the Hebrew scriptures, that Jesus is the Messiah. He's teaching more than that. He's putting out teasers, putting out a trailer of his gospel. The Jews, and that's why the throngs are there. And it's not just throngs of the Jews, probably in this case mostly, but there's some Gentiles in there. But you have to remember this. Paul did call some of his mother nation into his gospel. Remember, the body of Christ consists of both Jews and Greeks. The difference is, in Paul's evangel, Jews do not have preeminence. In the circumcision evangel, they always have preeminence. Even in the 1,000-year kingdom, Israel has preeminence. But there were a few, like Barnabas is one of them. Fellow Israelite, jumped ship. It was a big deal for an Israelite to jump ship, because when an Israelite jumps ship onto Paul's gospel, he or she gives up the national advantage. That was tough for an Israelite to do. But Paul's gospel sounded too good. It was a candy jar, Paul's gospel. And some of these Israelite types molded over. And they said, endure to the end to be saved, or be saved gratuitously in the grace of God. Be justified, that is, declared righteous. Well, let's go with declared righteous. We'll just jump in there with those Greeks. We're happy to be on equal standing with them if we can get in on this justification business and have a celestial destiny. So this is the next week. On the coming Sabbath, almost the entire city was gathered to hear the word of the Lord. Yet the Jews, perceiving the throngs, are filled with jealousy, and they contradicted the things spoken by Paul, blaspheming. Paul's probably playing the trailer of his gospel. Being bold, both Paul and Barnabas say, verse 46, to you first. This is the verse. Remember, Clyde mentioned Romans 1:16, to the Jew first and to the Greeks also, to the Jew first. So here it is. To you first, speaking of Israel, was it necessary that the word of God be spoken? Yet since, in fact, you are thrusting it away and are judging yourselves not worthy of aeonian life, lo, we are turning to the nations. We are turning to the nations. Acts 13:46. Acts 13, not Acts 28. A difference of at least 30 years. Paul doesn't wait 30 years. Every single letter that dude wrote, he wrote to the body of Christ. But so desperate are these Acts 28 people to get rid of Paul's early letters. We got to get rid of that snatching away. We got to get rid of those little Israelite things that were left over that Paul brought in. We don't understand that. I do, and I'm going to explain it to you today. Today, because Clyde makes another statement that Paul declared himself to be a priest. He does, but it's not what Clyde says or thinks. I can prove it, just like I proved this. I proved it right here. I proved it. Says to the Jew first. What does that prove? He went to the Jew first, and the next week he goes to the nations. 1 week. Apparently, Paul had to give the gospel to the Jews first. I don't know why, he just did. That lasted a week. All right. Next. Oh, wait a minute. Do you know something? Stephen Hill. A friend of mine, I used to live with the guy in Clyde. We all lived together, one big happy family, and we really were. So into this thing that Paul's only writing to Israel. This is what they think. Paul's only writing to Israel. In Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd, only writing to Israel. Really? In fact, so intent are they, Stephen and Clyde and other people, but I'm talking about these two gentlemen right now. Stephen actually wrote, I have to paraphrase it, but he said, in Romans, Paul is writing to the Jews. Well now, let's go to the end of Romans and read all these Jewish names at the end. Andronicus. Good Israel. Good Israel type. Junius. Ampliotos. Good old Ampliotos. There's a good old Hebrew name if I've ever heard it. Stachys. Urbanus. Apelles. Herodian. Aristobulus. Narcissus. That guy was stuck on himself. Tryphena and Tryphosa. My dear Tryphena and Tryphosa. I'm sure you're getting this. These are Greeks. These are not old Hebrew names. Let me tell you that. Nobody in Israelite culture or in the Hebrew days named their kid Aristobulus or Narcissus. Not even Tryphena and Tryphosa. Tryphena and Tryphosa. Here's some more good old Hebrew types. Asenricus. What mother would name her son Asencritus? Asencritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermas, Philologos, Nerus, Olympus. Yeah. There's a classic Hebrew name, Olympus. No. Paul has a ministry to the nations, as he declares in Acts 13, when the Holy Spirit separates Paul and Barnabas. Next. Clyde says this, and I quote, "Priest of Israel to the nations." Paul is a, quote, priest of Israel to the nations. And the reference is Romans 15, 16. Let's take a look at it. I'm not afraid of it. I relish this stuff. It's not that hard to refute. Romans 15, 16. Let's start with verse 15. "Yet more daringly," says Paul, "do I write to you in part as prompting you." He's writing to the Romans, to all those nice Greeks. Aristobulus, Hermes, Patrobus, Olympus, Narcissus, and on it goes. Not the least of which are Tryphena and Tryphosa, the hot Greek twins. "I write to you in part as prompting you because of the grace being given to me from God for me to be a minister of Christ Jesus for the nations, acting as a priest of the evangel of God, that the approach present of the nations may be becoming well received, having been hallowed by Holy Spirit." So Clyde sees that word priest. And he says in the video, I quote, Paul was a priest of Israel to the nations. A priest of Israel? Really? Well, let me ask you this. What tribe was Paul from? We know from Philippians he was of the tribe of Benjamin. Now let me ask you this. Is there a history of any Benjamites being priests of Israel? Absurd. Blasphemy. I'm getting overwrought. I'm going to have a sip of this bronchial wellness syrup. Hang on. Like drinking grandma's old moonshine. Of course not. You had to be a Levite. You had to be of the tribe of Levi to be a priest. Not to mention, but you don't even need to know that. Because Paul says, I'm acting as a priest. As a priest. And if you look up the word priest at this reference, Romans 15, 16, you look up the word in the Concordant Dictionary in the back of the CLNT, Concordant Literal New Testament, you'll see the word priest, and then you will see a little superscript F in front of the word. That means it's a figure. Paul's not literally a priest. He's acting as a go-between. He received the message directly from Jesus Christ, and he acts as a priest for the nations, giving them the message. Clyde sees this word priest, and he just isolates it. So Paul's a priest. He's a priest of Israel. So he's only teaching Israelite things. Do you see what a leap of do you see what a leap of logic that is? Do you see how it doesn't follow? It's a non sequitur? Well, because he calls himself a priest of Israel, he's only teaching Israelite things, and according to Steve Hill, he's teaching two Israelites. None of that is true. He's acting as a priest of the evangel of God. The word as is here. That should tell you something. He's not a priest, acting as one. And the word priest is a figure. It's a figure of speech. He's not a literal priest. You find that in the Concordant Dictionary. And Paul can't be a priest of Israel because he's not a Levite. He's a Benjamite. Next. All right. That's two issues out of the way. Now, Clyde says, and I quote, Paul is, quote, a minister of the new covenant, according to 1 Corinthians. A minister of the new covenant. Well, if Paul's a minister of the new covenant, that sure would suggest that he's teaching the Jewish covenant to the nations. No, but according to Stephen Hill, he's teaching it to the Jews. He's not even going to the nations yet, till he's about to die. Don't bring that axe in yet. I got to start my ministry. Don't bring that axe in right now. God has commissioned me to go to the nations. Yes, I've been lollygagging for 30 years, but now it's time. No. Absurd. All of Paul's letters are to the nations. All of Paul's letters are to the nations. The only letter Paul wrote that's not to the nations is the book of Hebrews. But in the book of Hebrews, Paul does not use his name. His name is nowhere in it. Because his name, the presence of his name, his signature certifies, since he's the apostle of the nations, his signature on a letter and every other letter he writes, he signs it by his own hand. This is Paul. This signature is a verification that this is me and this is my gospel. Pauline letter with Paul's name, Paul's gospel. The only letter he wrote that he didn't put his name in was Hebrews, because Hebrews is not Paul's gospel. He's writing to his fellow Israelites, explaining to them why the kingdom has withdrawn to an undetermined time in the future, and what his brethren, according to flesh, are supposed to do in light of this new information, in light of a secret administration having come, an unprophesied administration. They're left bereft of their kingdom. Many of them are probably suicidal, probably want to jump from tall buildings, or at least from the pinnacle of the temple. Oh, wait, there is no temple. So Paul is to comfort them. A minister of the new covenant, according to 1 Corinthians. Well, Clyde meant 2 Corinthians, because the reference he's referring to is 2 Corinthians 3:6. Let us go there now. I want to. I really want to. And I'm going to. 2 Corinthians. I might not even get to the 4th and 5th points. I'm kind of enjoying this a little bit. I shouldn't. I really shouldn't. But I love the scriptures. And I love the sequence of events. And I love Paul. And I love his gospel. And I love how he takes it to the nations. And I love how he gives it to the Jews first, because those are his beloved brethren according to flesh. And then they reject it. They deem themselves unworthy of Aeonian life, according to Paul in Acts 13:46. Lo, we turn to the nations. Acts 13:46, not Acts 28:28. All Paul's letters are for you, including 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the snatching away. That is not an Israelite truth. That is a truth exclusive to the body of Christ. But remember, the body of Christ does contain Israel types. Some of them heard the message. It was a miracle for them to hear it. It was a real miracle for an Israelite to hear Paul's gospel. Just because of that baggage thing, because they tried to do the law their whole life. Very difficult for an Israelite to come to Paul. Easy for the nations. They have nothing anyway. They had no expectation of God. This is the first message that ever came directly to them in Acts 13. And so they can't believe it. They had heard of Israel, a lot of them. Israel was famous. Israel was renowned. People knew about Israel. They probably heard about Abraham. A lot of them had. Paul uses Abraham as an example of faith, of being reckoned righteous just by believing God, believing something God said that you can't yet see. Yeah, I'm going to have to end with this. I got some good stuff coming up tomorrow. Oh, I want to get to it today. I really do, but I can't. So let's go to 2 Corinthians 3:6. I had a bookmark here, 2 Corinthians, keyword being had. Let's start with verse 4. I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4. Now such is the confidence we have through Christ toward God, not that we are confident of ourselves to rely on anything as of ourselves, but our competency is of God, who also makes us competent dispensers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the spirit. For the letter is killing, yet the spirit is vivifying. Let me show you an important detail in the Greek. And you wouldn't know this unless you have the concordant literal New Testament. And for some reason at this meeting, I think Clyde is teaching out of the King James Version. I don't know why. Remember, I told you yesterday or the day before, he misquotes important verse, 1 Corinthians 15:22, as an animal or dying. He quoted it from the KJV, as an animal die, trying to prove that every member of the body of Christ has to die. Went through that a couple days ago. Maybe it was yesterday. In the Concordant Version, the word A, as in we are competent dispensers of a new covenant. It's light face type. The important thing is that the definite article is not here. The is missing. If this was the Israelite New Covenant, Paul would have said, God makes us competent dispensers of the New Covenant. But there's not even a word here. The Concordant adds the word a because it's in light face type. It has no backing word in the Greek. So literally this would read, makes us competent dispensers of New Covenant. It's not the New Covenant promised to Israel. It's not that. In fact, you look up covenant again, and it's a figure of speech. It's a figurative covenant in that God... Now, one of the things with the covenant is an obligation of God, right? God obligates himself with the new covenant for Israel, the new covenant, not a new covenant, the new covenant, obligates himself to bless Israel. Obligates himself. So Paul is borrowing this terminology, saying that, well, how is this for a new covenant? God has obligated himself to bless us, the nations, to bless you, the nations. That's the, quote, covenant. It's not the new covenant. It's not even the new covenant, ladies and gentlemen. Even the new covenant of Israel is a figure of speech. Because a covenant, by definition, is an agreement between two parties. Two parties each do their part. So the new covenant is a figure of speech. Because God does both sides of it. God does his side and he makes them... And he enables Israel, puts his law on their hearts for them to do the law. Yet that's not a covenant. So even the new covenant is a figure of speech. The only covenant that's literal is the old covenant. That was literally a covenant, and a covenant literally is a deal between two parties who each must pull his own load. So when I tell you that not even Israel's new covenant is literal, this sure as hell is not literal. Covenant speaks of an obligation of God. In the old covenant, it's God's obligation and the obligation of Israel. The new covenant is purely the obligation of God as he does both parts. So this is Paul saying, using the old terminology, which is also the figure of speech of retention, where you take a term and you retain it, but you use it in a figurative way. For instance, in Revelation, it says, the dead rise. How can dead people rise? Well, they're using we're retaining the word dead to refer to those recently dead. They're not dead while they're alive, and why would we call them dead? Because it's a figure of speech called retention. We retain the term dead to distinguish them from the other people who have not recently been dead. It's a figure of speech called the figure of retention. So that's what we have here. Paul is not teaching the new covenant of Israel. That's ridiculous. He's talking to Greeks. He's talking to heathen. He's talking to some of them don't even know Moses. Why would Paul bring them in this same letter, 2 Corinthians, in chapter 3? He calls the law a dispensation of condemnation and death. I mean, it's right here. It's in the previous chapter. 2 Corinthians 3. The dispensation of death, verse 7. Dispensation of condemnation, verse 9. Paul's bringing that to the nations? No. So, Claudia's mistaken. Paul is not a minister of the new covenant. And that's the way he said it on the video. A minister of the new covenant. No, he's a minister of a new obligation. A new covenant, not the. I swear to you, if it had been the new covenant, the definite article would have been there, the. It is omitted by the Holy Spirit because it's not the new covenant of Israel. I got two more points left just in the 3 minutes that I watched this evening. So I'll bring you the next 2 points tomorrow. I probably won't get past those. Maybe I will. And then I'll have to come back Monday, obviously, and give you the rest. And it's a pleasure to do so. because I hate it when your expectation is taken away, because your expectation is my expectation. And it's the expectation that was given us by Paul via the Holy Spirit. How dare anyone take that away?